Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transformed into the extraordinary through the discovery of the metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week as we try to unravel the mysteries of the universe and discover how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation to your life. So let's get started. Well, good afternoon, everybody, or good day, or good morning, whatever time you're here to join us, we appreciate it. Today we're going to talk about, and I don't know how to sum this up in a topic, I think we'll decide that at the end of this talk, but we are rejoining each other after a long weekend, and Marcella this weekend had been started reacquainting herself with social media. At one time in her in the process of it all, she decided to check out for a while. And she's realizing the positives of it, as well as, ooh, this is where I was kind of crunched or annoyed with it, right? And I said, oh, you're experiencing what I experience when I talk about the medical field, when I talk about having to go to the doctor or just anything about them. These are like, I don't want to, they're triggers, or maybe they're not triggers, but they're crunchies that I need to address if I am not seeing everybody as the divine, including the doctor that pissed me off, right? Sometimes I have to be in the middle of a conversation chatting about it, and then I'm like really drilling it, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's something I need to work on, right?
That's what happened to me, and it's interesting because we briefly had talked about our topic today being forgiveness, right? But I had forgotten about that, and when Mary got here, I told her what it was. I had just realized about social media. I had my issues with social media, and so I was starting to tell her, and she said, "Why didn't you hold off until we started recording?" And so I thought, well, I wasn't too convinced, and then you walk in and says, "Well, we're going to talk about forgiveness, right?" So it's interesting that that.
It triggered you, or why did you choose, what did you see negative about it in the first place?
So I was trying to get reacquainted with social media,
right?
Because of the podcast and you know, all these projects, we thought, well, social media is important. And so initially, I probably have shared with you, so this has nothing to do with your friends on social media. This is, we're going to start from scratch. I think I had that idea at the beginning, like, no, we're going to start completely from scratch. And then I realized, but I did not realize it at that time. And then I don't know if it was like, during my sleep, during my meditation, whatever, but I just felt called to look for this Facebook account that I used to have. I used to have two accounts. One was for my friends here in the States. The other one was for my friends in Peru, or the Spanish-speaking and the English-speaking. And so I do remember that the English-speaking account, I completely dissolved it. Like, I canceled it. I make sure there was nothing there. I didn't want to, you know, have anything like temporarily paused or anything. But I did not do that with the Peruvian account, or the Spanish account. And it was interesting because I thought, oh gosh, wouldn't that be so cool? So my high school class had a reunion, and I thought, oh, it'd be so awesome to look at all the pictures without, you know, having to text people to send me something. So I tried to recover password and said, yeah, send me a code, Facebook, and I entered the code, and here I was. Access to all of this thing, and I was like, oh my gosh. And that just in that moment I thought, you know, I didn't think I would go back on Facebook, just because at that time when I decided to just stay away, nothing against Facebook, I think Facebook is awesome. It's the what people were posting, how they were fighting, how every, you know, if it was political, if it was not political, it was something else. And it was like, oh, just not a good place to be, right? And I said, I don't want to be. And plus, it kind of, it's addictive, right?
It sucks you in a
little
bit.
So you start, yeah, so I didn't want that. But I was kind of like, I don't know if looking down at people who were like, still on Facebook, I guess. I don't know what thoughts exactly or feelings I had, but I thought, I realized that, and it was so good to realize. I said, I have not forgiven this. And so I decided at that moment to just let it go. This is great, and the people here are awesome to reconnect with. And in fact, my password was I forgive in Spanish. Oh. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
That's great.
Yes. So I'm friends with social media again.
It is amazing how social media has evolved, because I agree. Like at first, I don't want people to know my business. I mean, so every once in a while I'll post things about my kids or something, but I never understood, for instance, Facebook, like why does everybody want to know what everybody's doing? Like, it's kind of a voyeuristic, like, why do I mean, I'm a caring person, but really, why do I let somebody that I haven't talked to in 20 years take up space in my brain, you know?
I thought you said I'm a caring person. I thought you said I'm a Karen. I said, oh, shit.
No, I do care about people's lives, but why do I let somebody that I haven't seen in 20 years take up space in my brain? Like, because they're showing me their vacation pictures, but I wouldn't recognize them on the street, perhaps, you know? So
yeah,
past relationships, because people, but then also think about this, like, and this is Facebook. Like, there was a time where, like, your past was your past, you know, like, you move on, but then Facebook kind of keeps you in the past a little bit with past relationships. I always go back to that, what's that saying, where some people are in your life for a moment, some people are in for a season, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you would get sucked into your past relationships
What about that being an opportunity for forgiveness? Because if you don't want to revisit your past, why do you not want to revisit your past? Why do you not want to hear about your auntie so-and-so or your cousin so-and-so, right? If you're, what I was thinking, that showing up with a different energy and not judgment at all. I mean, of course, we are in control what we post and what we don't post, what we respond to and what we don't, right? So, and we can even just, I think Facebook lets you see less of this or whatever, even if they're your friends.
People or,
so
it all comes down to, like, your personal boundaries of time. Like, time's a big thing for you, Marcella, but I can get sucked on social media. Like, that's my mindless scrolling
playground.
I'm just like, and then sometimes, so that's when I start talking to myself, Heather, why are you just mindlessly scrolling through other people's lives, you know? But I do have transitioned. I do go to social media for learning. Like, I also love, you know, social media's podcasts and it has evolved, I would say.
Like, and I think you choose what you use it for, I guess.
Right. Okay, so we got off on the tangent about social media, kind of, and we want to focus, because this is where the metaphysical practice comes in, right? We want to focus on that crunch. That's what I call it, or that moment of, ooh, I didn't realize this was so important or bothering me that much.
Right.
Right? And so what I'm seeing or witnessing is, you realized, oh, I need to explore this. There's some forgiveness work there. And you saw you went to the benefits and how it does serve us. And the deal is everything, this is where we bring the metaphysics in. Everything is energy. And our job as beloveds is to see the divine in everybody.
And everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so Facebook is a playground in which the shadow side as well as the divine light side is going to be witnessed.
Right.
And so for me, my forgiveness work lately has always been with doctors in the medical field. And I don't want to go into my stories and my experiences, because really they're irrelevant. The bottom line is, if I, for whatever reason, go to a doctor because I need something and I've got a chip on my shoulder, and yes, I'm being courteous and I'm being acting appropriately, but if I'm projecting this, you know, energy of, you idiot, you wasted how many years of your life, and you can't see past the, you know, what the pharmaceutical companies are doing, you know, as far as hypnotically trapping you, and now there's the insurance companies, and the, you, do you see all of the bullshit and the toxicity, the energy that I'm bringing to the table, if that's what's in my head, right?
I had that for years with the medical field, with him. It was just like, and then I don't know when it went away, but and luckily, since I, after it went away, I mean, gratefully, I don't have to deal. I don't have a doctor. I don't need to go to a doctor, and I hope I won't have to go. But well, I had to go when I had that
accident.
Right,
I was about to bring that in.
And I could see at that time that there was a little bit of residual, because I looked down at that orthopedic surgeon the minute I saw him. Right, like and he felt it, because he got me out of his office as soon as he could when I said I didn't want surgery, right?
Right.
But there could be a residual. And I was just thinking when you, it's interesting, I was judging Mary, because like, why is it taking you so long to forgive the medical? And here I, you know, because social media was very easy this morning. The minute I was aware of that issue, it was gone.
Yeah.
Now, I was...
Well, for me, y'all know that I have a tumor in my breasts, right? I'm not allowed to get a lumpectomy. No, I am dictated that I have to have a biopsy before that can occur. Why? It's my body. Why can I not? You know, but
because there's protocols.
Doctors refuse. Yeah. They refuse. And you can get into the story of, oh, but the insurance company's this, and oh, and they could possibly get sued. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sue you. Give me the paperwork. I will sign the form. This is how I want to handle it. It's my body. I have that right. And so I, you know, there's a part of me that is like, okay, I can have compassion for you. I can, on the other part of it, you know, I need to do the forgiveness work. And I will stay out of fear of this, you know, with this.
So when you say lumpectomy, that means you want that lump taken out of you?
Mm-hmm.
What would you want that? Sorry, this is not the topic, but maybe it's not meant to be.
Well, we could explore that. I don't know if that's, and I'm open to exploring that. It doesn't have to do with the subject matter.
Could it have to do that, could it be that once you really choose to forgive, you don't have to completely forgive, but if you want to forgive, that may be...
So you're saying that the that my holding on to the medical field would be possibly part of holding on to the tumor, huh?
Because you're angry, right?
I'm sure going to explore it. I'm just, I'm so past being angry.
Like, don't you think that if that were to be the solution for you, and the reason why it's not happening, more than being the blame of those doctors, it could either be that it's not meant to happen, it's not the best route.
Right.
Or that...
So I've given you one example, and that's ongoing. I could give you another story, and do we want to get into it? I don't... There's stories, right? When Jim's gone to two different cardiologists who tell him...
No, we know that system is like, it's terrible.
Right,
it's the worst, right?
And
so the prayer should be that you don't need it, right? Ever.
I agree.
But
I so agree with you. I'm aligned with you, right? But I have a situation here. And...
So the question is, maybe the grudges that are still from the situation A and B, or the first situations, are the ones that have that coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had that with your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then with yourself.
Yes.
So there's a pattern there.
Mm-hmm.
Of needing a system that you know is worthless, right?
Well, it doesn't work for me. So I'm trying not to judge it as worthless, but it is certainly not working for me. And that's the hard part about it, because in the long run, yes, they didn't catch his heart attack, but when he had his heart attack, they did finally step up and save his life.
Nobody saves your life. Your life is meant to be saved or it's not, I think. There's no such thing.
Well, he needed the assistance.
Yeah. No question that, you know, it comes through them or it doesn't. That's what
I was
trying to say.
You.
If it's not coming through them, why is it not coming through them? So instead of being angry that it's not coming through them, it's like asking, so where is this supposed to come from? And again, it's easier said than done, right? When you are in that situation and that's all you, I mean, few options that you can see.
And right? She's right, dear listener. It is easier said than done. But this is the kind of dialogue that you have, no matter how uncomfortable, because the track that she's on can help the beloved get to the core of the issue. Right? It's not an easy conversation to have. And I can't answer all the questions. She's planting a lot of seeds in my mind, because this has been ongoing for me since 2017. And the first time I had one in 2015, I was able to get rid of it in 3 months. So what is the difference? Between the protocols are certainly the same as far as the doing, am I holding on to something? And so I'm willing to explore. I will turn every
stone
over
to see
what to figure out
what the spiritual meaning of.
Yes.
What is it?
Breast tumor?
Uh-huh. Breast is mothering. Tumor is anger. Yeah. Lots of anger, which, you know, okay. Let's see. You know.
Yeah.
So bottom line is, it's let it all go and just start going with the flow of these things.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a situation, and I'm kind of with you. I don't really see the doctor. You know, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I'm healthy all the time. I like to be grateful for that. But several years ago, I was having like arm pain in my arm. I was having numbness in my arm, and I'm, you know, blow it off. I wasn't concerned. And I must have mentioned it to my neighbor, who is a respiratory therapist, and she's like, Heather, you need to get that checked out. And I was like,
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, no. And so I think she mentioned it to my husband. And it. So here's the hard thing. When we somehow... Even like your husband, when you have people that maybe don't totally understand the spiritual side of things, and they
right.
still waver with the medical side. So my husband was a little upset, and he's like, Heather, you know, if that happens again, you have to promise me you will go get it checked out. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, all right, you know, whatever. Okay, I promise. So sure enough, one afternoon, my arm started tingling and numb.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I'll just run to urgent care just to satisfy everybody else. Like, I wasn't concerned. So they immediately thought I was having a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I've kind of fit the profile as a woman and my, you know, women that just fall over in their 40s or whatever of a heart attack. So they told me that it was my choice. I could either call an ambulance or drive myself to the ER. And I'm still like, I'm not buying into this. I feel fine. I'm just trying to satisfy everybody else. So sure enough, I drove myself to the ER. Again, I'm like, you guys are, everybody's overreacting here. And they were. So I go in, they admitted me. I got pushed to the front of the line.
Right.
They admitted me to...
Gosh, you go there with a real heart attack and you have to wait 3 hours.
No kidding. I'm like... And I'm by myself.
Exactly. Or they're still doing
it. I'm just like, you all are overreacting. And I, again, that I don't want that energy from anybody.
Right.
So they admitted me, and I think I called my husband. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm fine, but they admitted me. So sure enough, the alarms go off. My daughter, who at the time was probably like 12, she tells people I have breast cancer. She's like confused with the chest. And then I knew not to call my parents, but I did, because they would immediately go to the fear mode of, and I'm just trying to remain calm. I'm like, everything's fine. I feel good. So sure enough, they kept me overnight, and I just looked at it like, well, if I'm here, I'm just going to take a day off. I'm going to watch my show. I'm going to, just enjoy it. And they did. So the cardiologist comes in the next day, and he says, here's the deal. Like, we're not really finding anything, but with your symptoms, would you be willing to be this case study and do like a full scan? And if you do, like, we'll waive all your medical bills. I'm like, all right. And here I'm just like, all right, whatever. So I had to go do this full-blown heart MRI dye test. So I get a call the next day after I do that. And I'm sitting with people having chemo. And I'm almost like, I don't belong here. Like, this is not my story. Like, I am not buying in that this is going to be my story. I'm not. But I get a call later that day or the next day from the radiologist, and he said, your heart is fine, but we did find some spots on your lungs that are concerning, and we really want you to go see a pulmonologist.
Yeah.
And I went into straight up fear mode. Like I knew fear mode. And my gut reaction, and again, not to take action, but I was like, I was at this cross point or whatever. I was like, I am either going to get sucked into this system and I am going to be on their protocol. I knew. I'm like, this is what happens. As you go down that, or I didn't want to ignore it, but I was like, I'm not giving it any energy. And I knew, because I had fear. Like, I had fear that where I'm like, I'm not telling anybody about this because I'm not going to elevate that fear. I don't want other people to be fearful. I don't want to take... I did call, like, my family doctor that I don't even go to, but he's kind of a friend, a friend. And he was like, Heather, it could just be a nodule. He kind of did downplay it for me too. And I just thought, I'm not giving into the fear. I'm not. And so I just did a lot of healing work on myself, more energy work. I did breath work.
Mm-hmm.
I thought lungs was guilt.
Mm-hmm. I don't recall, but yeah.
And so I was like, what do I feel guilty for? It's probably mom things. I wasn't,
mm-hmm.
And I just worked on myself for like a year. But again, with positive energy and no fear.
Right.
But I just knew that that moment I could have gone. Most people would have been sucked in the system. Okay, make an appointment with a pulmonologist.
It's good that you were able to, because sometimes it's still like you're in the back of your head, you have that sucking your energy, right?
Annoying feeling, yeah.
And so finally I did all my work, and then I'll just tell you the end result was finally, maybe a year later, a year and a half later, I thought, now I feel okay, let's go get it checked out. And everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just knew, I chose at that moment.
And I remember, because for some reason, I think I may have told you because I
told some people, and I mean, if I told anybody, it was three people. It was people that I felt safe.
They wouldn't go into the...
And the fear or the, oh my gosh, you need to go get that. Like, if I would have told my dad or my parents, you have got to go get that scan done. And they would have called me every day until I got it done. And...
You can create something in your body.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, I could have created something. And I'm not comparing this to your story at all.
Oh,
I'm just telling you, like...
But why not?
I just chose...
See, you have every right to. Why not? That's why I like her so much. Because there is something that I am in denial about. And I feel very strongly about that.
Well, it's interesting with me, with you, that of all... You do such a health protocol on you, your daughter, your family. But why?
Exactly.
Why do you have to? I mean, why? I don't know.
Why?
So let me ask you, do you, I know you're, you've studied the Course in Miracles. Have you ever done the, there's like a bunch of lessons, maybe three or maybe more than those, but three at least that are very like tools, like they say, okay, this is a situation. There's one that says, take this from me and judge it for me. Take this from me, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death or use it for destruction, but teach me how to use it to facilitate. Mm-hmm. No, let me not use it as an obstacle to peace, but how to use it to facilitate its coming. It's really a very powerful, when you can't really let go. Have you done that? Because that's a prayer to the Holy Spirit.
It doesn't ring a bell at all to me.
Powerful.
You're going to have to get that little.
And there, the other one is the simple one, right? The one that comes in the first 50 lessons. Let me forgive that I can see this differently, or I can see peace instead of this. But you say
I use
over
that one
and over,
all the time.
And every time you have the thought, you do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure, wellness and health is that has become your story.
Right. It has been.
Like, what would you?
But the question is...
Oh, you mean connected to this? I think this is connected to the breast tumor.
Now, wasn't that when your husband had the heart attack?
Yes, it all came. Well, that's when it might have been there. That's when I felt it again. I was caretaking both Sarah and Jim at the time, and I was drowning.
So that she was angry about
anger,
the mother.
Yeah.
Mother
yeah.
is caretaking.
And very, very helpless. Mm-hmm. Just there was this hopeless feeling. And remember, we had just moved 3 days into the move, and nothing is organized. Everything's crazy. I still have stuff at the other house. And he's in a coma, and all I want to do is be there for him. And then she's starting to go down and get sick again, and I just felt
your
Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just felt the world caving in on me. And you know, and like I said, I've shared this with y'all before. I realized at the time when I was in fear and I wouldn't acknowledge it, it's like, no, I kept pushing it away and pushing it away. And then I would call my friends or my prayer warriors and say, y'all do the praying. I'm falling into the, oh, please God, and that's just not helpful. I'm too much in fear, I can't pray for myself. But just know this, if Jim wants to live, please let your prayer be that he comes back because he wants to, not because out of any obligation or whatever. And that's all I ask, that's all I put in it. And then let them do the magic, and I stayed there just going through the motions. You know, because the first time around, I had to do a lot of...
So can I interrupt you right
yes,
now
you can.
Before I forget? When she was starting to go into that story, I don't know if you noticed, but her energy shifted just when I interrupted her. Because you were getting back into that story about how terrible it was.
That's your paradigm. That's your story. That is your story is...
Feeling hopeless. Helpless. Yeah.
Do you?
Somewhat.
I think there's a lot of charge
it's
still
comfortable.
There.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of...
Maybe I need to go through this and not be such the observer too, but I'm aware that y'all are listening. And what did you just say? Oh, comfort. Oh, does that crunch me? How the fuck could I be comfortable? Excuse my P's and Q's. But there's something to that. If that kind of energy and trauma has been in your life for so long, yeah.
There's still a lot of emotion there, right? Negative emotion, yeah. Which is good, you know, just like we were talking at the beginning of the podcast, like when you spot it, you can release it.
Right, it's just recognizing.
Unless you know, I still have this thing, then what are you going to do if you don't know it's there, right?
Like
if you have a tumor, you don't know it's there, you can't do anything about it. But once you know, did you know you had that charge still? Because I'm looking at you, I can tell you, you have a big charge.
Yeah, because you start, you really get into telling that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And
your voice breaks. Everything is just like your whole chi changes.
Right.
Right. She always has.
And
this,
then there's this frustration because you know what you know, and you're I'm applying it, but I just haven't found that right frequency.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't landed on that right. I mean, where it's going to neutralize it all. And
but here's the deal.
But when you say frequency, do you mean the machine or do you mean the...
So you like trying to figure it out and trying to get the right frequency and try... Well, that's... At what point do you just like let go and let God? You're trying to come up with all these... Mm-hmm. Like, I've got to do the right protocol. I've got to do the right frequency. I've got, you know... Like, really praying for just, I give up. Let go. I let go and turn it over. Like, you don't have to cure your husband and your daughter and you and everybody. You don't have to. That's all on your shoulders. That you, mm-hmm. Because you have the knowledge. What if you just give up and let go? And just, what would happen? What would happen?
They'll die! I'm just kidding.
Well, okay, but whatever's going to happen is going to happen. If we're meant to die, we're meant to die.
Yeah, but you're trying to like...
I am, right.
Control, you uh-huh. know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. But it's really above you. It's bigger than you. It's not... I mean, you're just a human that... Obviously, if there's something you're meant to do...
I'm thinking it's a huge collective clearing for you, that you're taking on. Because most likely, when you finally let that go, you're going to see everything transform. And then you're going to be really releasing a big collective, you know, wave of healing there.
Which really goes back to dig deeper, the whole mother thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You feel like, even with your husband, like, this is your duty, like, you have to care this much. You are the mother. You have to heal. You have to, you know...
Right. I agree.
Like, how do you let that go with your child? You know, like, when you know she's not, you know.
You do. When you ask, you let go of that God, you do. You just, and you actually are more helpful that way, you know,
mm-hmm.
than thinking that I have to really be intense about finding a solution to this.
And I will say, I kind of feel like, even though you don't agree with tradition or Western medicine,
mm-hmm.
you're still looking for a solution with Eastern medicine. You're doing the exact opposite, but the same.
Yes, you're right.
Like, you're just looking for, you don't want a pharmaceutical, but you want an answer through a vibrational, you know, or something. It's all energy.
The food is medicine, supplements, you know.
Course in Miracles says you can use your magic, because sometimes you're so trapped in the illness, you don't have the right mind to even pray, to even ask.
Right.
So use your magic, it says. Use your whatever you know that works.
Whether it's food, whether it's...
To get you up. But know that the real cure does not come from that.
That's just like a placebo.
It just lifts you up so you can have your right mind, so you can really mm-hmm. just heal and have, you know.
I mean, there's people that need to take a drug prescription because they don't question it at all, and they mm-hmm. therefore are healed, whether it's a placebo, because...
But if you're healed by a placebo and you don't heal the real cause, the illness comes in a different way.
Right. It'll come back. Which it came back. Right.
So use your magic. I mean, I think it's great that vibration mm-hmm. is much better than, you know, getting trapped into in that medical system that actually makes you sicker, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, and prayer, like you said, Heather, you know, just let go and have the tools. I'll send you that. That's a really nice lesson that the Course has. It just like really brings you down to your knees, and you really, really feel like, okay, you don't feel bad for letting go. You feel like, oh, I'm Relief. Letting go of this, but a higher dimension of me is taking over. So it's pretty cool.
It actually, like you said, allows...
I can't wait the day you come and tell us about all your miracles.
And I feel like it's and that's the other thing, dear listener, you have a choice here. So you got a situation and you got a problem. I can go down my contacts list and I can pick up the phone and I can call a friend who's going to sit there and wallow with me. And, oh, you poor thing. And, yeah, I don't know how you do it. Well, I could choose that type of friend, or I can choose the friends that are going to tell me the truth and help me live my truth. And that's what it kind of comes down to. Yeah, I had no idea this was going to happen.
No,
this
we did not.
No idea. But y'all have a great day, and thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time as we
journey into the vortex.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.